You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome back to the Break It Down podcast. And I will remind you again, gently and slowly, that probably, and or not probably, I'm going to change the name of the Break It Down podcast, and the main podcast image that you're used to, probably going to be Emery Land, some logo therein, as we continue to transition this podcast back to being an Emery-focused thing, to break down music, stories, storytelling, archives. I don't know, maybe find it inspirational to see how a young group of guys pursued their dream and made it happen for 20 years. I don't know. Some of that stuff's fun, but that's what I'm feeling right now, and that's what we're going to do with the podcast. So be on the lookout for the new logo. Don't let it sneak up on you and you not recognize it in the feed if you see a name change or a logo change in the coming weeks. But we're going to continue what we're doing, again, which is telling stories, trying to recount our past, trying to learn from it, see what's interesting there, and you know, just capture everything. And we're going to get to our music, too. We're going to break down songs and talk about the writing process and the lyrics and the music and the recording. And of course, this podcast supports Emery Land, the online community that we have for our band. Emery Land is the funding mechanism by which Emery is permanently funded. Our goal here is put out an album every year on May 7th and put out four contributing EPs to that each quarter leading up to May 7th, which we declare Emery Day. The people that are members of Emery Land community will be getting those EPs in real time. Basically, the day we get them back from the mix in batches of four, they're going to get that music, and then we'll put most of that music into an LP at the end of the year, and then the general public may get to hear it if we deem that the way we want to go. But we're focusing on our fans, our community. It's going to be between 1,000 and 2,000 people and maybe grow from there. That's about where it is now. And it's really amazing to have a stable base of people that are supporting your direct creative work. People like Emery's music. Some people do, at least. And that's enough reason and it's enough money to continue to do it indefinitely. And that is a huge... I don't know what the word is. It's a huge, I don't want to say accomplishment. I want to say it's a huge privilege. It's just an amazing thing to have happened and feel supported that way. So I want to say thank you to everybody who's made this dream of mine to be able to make music for a living be real. So it seems there's a good mutual benefit to the whole thing. You join our Discord group. So just go to emerymusic.com if you haven't done that yet. Join it. You can pay a few dollars a month, or you can pre-order a vinyl that's going to come out in May. Any of those things will get you in. If you participate with us commercially and directly, then you are in Emery Land. You will join our community. That's one pedal of the bike. The content would be the other pedal of the bike, and the content in this case, of course, is Emery Music, up-to-date, real-time. We're doing a lot of streaming of our writing and recording process on Twitch, and then it goes right to the mixer. The whole thing's transparent, and you get the music. You can participate with us, and we hang out online. So that's basically the gist of what we're up to and having a great time doing it. We're going to continue storytelling tonight. This is still very, very early proto-Emery when we're developing the idea and planning to move and trying to write our first songs. So I hope this kind of podcast will, you know, for lack of a better word, resonate with you guys. I hope you enjoy it. Okay, let's do it.
Break it down, Dada.
Break it down, oh, break it down. Break it down, oh, break it down. Break it down, oh, break it down. Break it down, oh, break it down.
Let's meet Carter.
Yeah. Okay, we're back into storytelling mode. So let's just, I know that the last podcast, if you're just coming fresh from that one ended in a hot sack of shit.
Oh my God. It was like just a warm, steaming pile of fucking shit.
So welcome back. If you got past there, you're in the right place. I don't even know how it ended. I never heard it.
Emery.
So let's see if I can get a good Once Upon a Time. Once Upon a Time, there's four guys thinking about starting a band, looking to do new endeavors in life, but yet they were mixed up in different relationships with different outcomes.
Yep.
What would happen?
Yep.
Would they go for their dreams? Would they keep their relationships? Would they ever form the band?
Because they didn't know. Those four young gentlemen did not know. So the four young men were who were the four young men?
Matt, Devin, Toby, Joey, Devin. is who we're talking about here.
Okay, yep. So you're not including Joel Green in that.
No, I'm not. He's not okay. included.
Well, no, yet. He wasn't included originally.
He's not included right. yet. We ain't got there. So we're in college. We're in Rock Hill, South Carolina. We've been on and off dating and having relationships and all the kinds yep. of things that people do in college. A little premarital here and there, that kind of thing. So trying to start a band, very, very normal. Like, it's a very, very average yep. situation.
Just
like
oral.
Guys with guitars. Do a little premarital here and there. Jam with your buddies.
Just oral. Come on, clarify. Just oral. We didn't do none of that nasty shit. Just oral. We were Christians, by God. We did the oral. That was it. Because I care about my Lord and Savior.
That was back when you were on fire for God, so you only did oral.
Oh, I was so on fire for God. I would not do anything but oral. And a little of the whatever that other thing is. That starts.
But anyway.
I don't even want to talk about it. Keep moving on.
We're just trying to figure it out. Oh, we had two bands. That's what we covered last week, is we had two bands that were kind of struggling independently.
Joe 747 and Satchel Simply Wayne's. Yeah.
So the next complexity is, if we're going to move forward, start a band, how's that going to work? What will we do? You know, what was the scene? What was the relationships? Mm-hmm. What did we have to navigate next? We got to start Emory still.
We got to start Emory.
Okay, well, so I don't. Let me start here for a second.
Okay,
I don't think y'all thought about it. I've never asked y'all this question. At that moment, y'all were in Simply Wayne's. The name had changed to Satchel. Were y'all thinking career in music? Because it's really funny, because on the opposite side, or the other side, was Joey and I in Joe 747,
mm-hmm.
and Joey and I started talking about, wait a minute, we love music, we love being in a band, we want to do this maybe as a career. But had y'all thought about that until Joey and I approached you? Had y'all even had a thought of graduating college and maybe pursuing music? Was that a thought in Devin and Matt Carter's brain?
No, I mean, not really. But it was a very weird time, because it was a time when I was probably a junior or senior in college. And if somebody said, what are you going to do? What are your plans? It would have been a complete blank stare. Like, not even close. I mean,
like, no idea of anything.
Don't you agree? That's kind of the way that I am. You asked me what I'm going to do next year. I have no idea. I mean, I can guess it might look like today, but that's the best I could tell you. I had never had an idea that I'd be an adult and have to do a thing. Like, that never, like, that just seemed unacceptable to me, that I would even have a future or have a job. But also, when you started talking about doing music as a career, I just thought you were really dumb, because that's not possible. So that didn't seem like an option
either.
Might have
been right.
So I didn't have any plan, but that certainly was a fun... I like that attitude, though. I thought that's really cool that you were that naive, that you believed. I thought found that somewhat attractive, I think, but I didn't think it was like a real
thing. Devin,
what did
you think? You were graduating with a music, was it
music
performance?
Yeah. I started music education that I could teach, and then I switched because I didn't like it. So I couldn't have done anything either. I would have had to get some kind of, I don't know. I don't know what I could have done. But
I'm saying in your senior year, you didn't have a plan still at all.
No.
Like, you didn't thought, I mean, like, oh, graduation is 4 months from now. Who needs a plan?
Right. Yeah, I guess I thought, well, I could always go back to grad school and do something, you know, like add to my degree or whatever. So that's probably my plan. I was like, well, I guess that's just what I'll
do.
That's
not no plan, though.
I mean, it wasn't like we thought our band was going to
have a band.
Do anything. We didn't. I mean,
all
it was like
falling apart bands.
The other guys already were already getting and having jobs and getting married and stuff like that. So I was like, well, they're not going to, can't do anything.
But at least with you, Devin, for a while, you had a decently serious girlfriend, and you thought maybe something was going to happen there. Because, I mean, I don't even know if people understand that as much. Maybe they do, but there's something about having a girlfriend, and you're thinking maybe it's going to turn into, you know, whoever you're dating, it's going to turn into something serious, and that will ground you, and that is what will help you get to the career and all that stuff. Because I'm in love, and we're getting married, and all those things. That probably was something where you thought that was a future there, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought if it had gone the way I had wanted, I guess, at the time, or thought, we would have gotten probably engaged after I graduated, after we graduated, or after she did, which was like a year later or something, and then gotten married, and I would just figured out my career.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you would have figured out a job.
Now,
yeah.
Devin, is it the case, Toby and I were trying to remember exactly the details, but is it not the case, basically, that you were dating a girl who had broken up with her longtime boyfriend, and then at some point, out of what seemed like the blue in this situation that you thought might work out, she told you, sorry, I'm done with you, and I am going to marry him after all. Is that the long and short of it?
Yeah, basically, like, when we went on tour that we talked about last week, we were still dating, we came back, went through kind of most of that school year, I don't remember exactly, and then coming up on the senior year, we stopped dating for whatever reason. We're like, well, let's chill out, whatever, and then it was still on and off. Like, we'd still kind of go out, still get together, still do stuff, and so, and then during that whole thing where I was kind of being strung along, though I wanted to be strung along, it was during that whole process, abruptly is where I found out she had already gotten engaged.
Now, do you think that type of thing left you in a very particular position to openness? Like, you know, when you get dumped or broken up with everything's totally different. Did that really reframe what your expectation of the future and open up new possibilities?
For sure. Because, I mean, of course, in your mind, when you have a very serious girlfriend or relationship, you have to think about the next step because the other person wants you to, and you got to figure out what you're doing. I mean, you can't just get up and leave without any responsibility in the situation. So, of course, I was like, well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. We get married year or two, whatever, and just kind of go.
And when you found out she was engaged, you thought that you and her were together or had something?
No, I knew we weren't together, but we were still
there was still the possibility. Yeah. There was still
a possibility.
And I want to clarify this too. Nobody knows. You're just, you know, your early 20s or you know, all this stuff, and you don't know anything. It's not like she was the shittiest person in the world. She was just trying to figure out her life too. And at the same time, that's what is interesting about this. Matt, you had a serious girlfriend.
Yes, you did. I was dating a girl. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, the most serious girlfriend you ever had in your life.
You know, I never had a whole lot of luck with women previously either, so I kind of thought it was a big deal.
No, you didn't?
You know, I could have sworn you would have. It was a pretty good situation. I mean, all things considered, you know, I had had a girlfriend or two, but I mean, I was always late bloomer, little, short, nerd. Nothing like game, nothing like Devin.
No hair.
Like girls would like me or anything. So that was just eventually got kind of cool enough to get a girlfriend that was pretty cool. And we were pretty serious. Like, you know, it was serious enough.
How serious were you when we started Emory?
I know you know the answers to these questions, but the girl I was dating was best friends with the girl that Toby was dating. And these particular ladies had big plans when they graduated. They said, we're going to graduate, and we know our plans. We're moving to Wilmington to start a film career, and then we're going to go to LA and North be Carolina. Movie stars. So we're out of here. So it was a clock. Like, I would have, you know, I suppose if she'd have been like, we're going to stay here and we'll make this thing work, then I probably then wouldn't have had to say, that probably would have been fine with me too. But that was already not going to be the case. There was animosity about that. It's like, we're dating. You're just going to move away. What are we going to do?
Right. Well, I thought, I promise you, there was a time where, and this was in this whole thing, because I want people to understand, we just said we're going to start a band and move somewhere. Or I mean, we'll get to this in a minute, but I mean, there was no band that meant anything.
No.
Right? Like, the idea of Emory was just some idea that could have been whatever. In that exact same moment, I actually did think this, Matt. I don't know if you did, and I don't know if we've ever talked about this either, you and I personally. I thought there's a good chance that I'm going to move to Wilmington and maybe just live and, you know, like follow our girlfriends. And I was like, maybe Matt will move there too. In my mind, I thought, that could be kind of cool. Matt and I moved to Wilmington.
If she invited me.
They never invited us.
Yeah. I wasn't invited, but I would have been there in a heartbeat. I guarantee you.
Right. You know what? That's really funny. They never did. Yeah, they never said, hey, y'all should come with us. They did not say that. Well, I don't know. Maybe I might have gotten that slight invite or something. But would you have done it?
I would go one further. I'm not sure if I would have had a girlfriend if she didn't already know that she was getting out of it. You know what I mean? It's like, I'll do this for here while I'm here. You know, that's probably what.
Right. But I'm just saying, the idea of Emory was just as much of an idea of anything else. Like we're saying, You're saying we're trying to graduate college and there's no career path.
Nothing.
There's no anything. Like, Emory was just an idea as valid as any other idea. Like, or maybe even less. Like, the idea of, wait a minute, I'm dating somebody. Maybe I should just go to Wilmington, North Carolina seems like a cool town to go live in and try and figure stuff out. At least for, you know, but why not? I got my degree in elementary education. I could have been a teacher there or just figured it out
it
or whatever.
It didn't seem that scary at the time. But the truth is that concept of what Emory was no different than anybody saying, you know what? I'd like to be a writer. I could probably write a screenplay one day. It was about that. That was about the gravity of what Emory was. I would jam with my friends. Maybe we could do something. I mean, it was that's about where it was.
And I also don't even know. Did we even know that was the end of the relationships? I didn't really get it.
I don't. I remember you guys still being together, and I think even like Matt's girlfriend, I think she was kind of like she played it off like, whatever, you guys aren't going to do that. I might be wrong, but I remember it being taken kind of lightly.
Oh yeah, but we ain't got to that part yet. But sure. That's
but you know,
definitely
I mean,
true.
After we told, sorry, we haven't got to that, but yeah. So
all
I
right,
mean,
let's
she,
get to it. Yeah.
So
yeah,
we're our other bands have kind of fallen apart. We're not sure what to do musically. We still like to play guitar. Still,
so
trying
after,
to learn to
after
record
we did
on
that,
a little 8-track stuff like that.
Right.
After we did that show that we talked about on the last episode, I don't know how soon it was after that, but it couldn't have been that long.
We had the song "The Secret." Yeah.
We had the song "The Secret." It couldn't have been very long when we got a call at our house. Can I go there?
Yes, do that.
Right. So me and Matt and a couple other guys live
landline.
In a house. Huh?
It was a landline call.
Oh, yeah. We had a landline. Like a 40-foot cable on that thing. So we got a call. Toby lived with Joey and a couple other guys.
Yeah.
And so we got a call one afternoon, evening, whatever. And Toby, this is typical Toby, but I remember either I answered the phone or Matt. I can't remember which one. But Toby's got, oh, hey, guys, what y'all doing? You know, just normal conversation. It's like, yeah, we're thinking about going to El Cancun tonight, which is our favorite Mexican restaurant at college. And so we're like, yeah, that'd be awesome. He's like, yeah, we just kind of want to talk to you guys a little bit about like a maybe starting a intramural softball team.
All right, let me say
it. Never discussed ever in our time.
Right, which is really funny because we had never talked to y'all about that. But Joey and I, okay. So one, I'm almost certain, and I have a terrible memory, so y'all might be, I believe our friend Paul, who was in the band with y'all, Iron Kid, that we talked about a little bit last, I believe he answered, and that's what, it freaked me out because I was like, oh no, I was hoping you or Matt would answer, and I could just talk to you directly. I believe Paul, and I was like, hey, can I talk to Devin real quick or whatever? I'm almost certain I talked to Devin after that, but the idea here is we thought, we are going to ask you to join our band and move away. And so we have to keep this super secret because everybody else in your band, Ronnie or who, you know, whoever else was doing the stuff and Paul and all that stuff would be really hurt, really upset.
So
and
we
knew they would
dinner to discuss.
Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously it was really fun hanging out with those guys, but we were actually going to ask just you two to join a band together and move as far away as we could. We didn't even know where we would move. At that point, Seattle wasn't even the idea. It was just, we knew we were not going to stay in Rock Hill. We're going to move to some city and try and do this. So that's why it felt like we were like, hey, I remember Joey and I talking and we were saying, hey, how can we get Matt and Devin just to talk to us alone, which is, it would have probably been pretty easy. We don't know what we're doing. That's what I'm saying. Like you're a dumbass idiot, you know, 20-year-old something. And so we said, hey, what if we tell them we want to try and do softball league, and we're going to join, and we want you two to join? Like, how many people? You need like 11 people to do a softball league. We're like, hey, we just want to speak to you two. Like, a softball league would have, of course, included all of our friends who you were in bands with and stuff. Anyway, so that was like, it. But at the time, it felt like really we had to keep it DL. And the other reason why, too, is because if y'all said no, we thought, well, we don't want to make everybody hate us. Because those are my friends, too. Yeah. Everybody y'all were in a band with, we were super close friends. All of us.
Yeah, it was a little
Paul,
community.
Ronnie, everybody.
It has all the hallmarks of amateur, don't know what you're doing when you take things way too seriously and secretive.
Right.
That's all the hallmarks of amateurity right there.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, because I remember getting off the phone with you now, and I looked at Matt, and I was like, yeah, they want to go to El Cancun, but they said something about starting an intramural softball team. And I was like, what?
Okay. I'm all ears. Let's go.
We play sports and stuff together.
we're getting to the end of like college, and we're trying to talk to y'all about intramural softball. Oh, Lord. Anyway,
yeah, so we show up, we go to the restaurant, get the nachos, and sit down. And they said,
El Cancun, our favorite Mexican restaurant.
It's awesome. Rock Hill. He says, and they sit down, it's kind of serious, and they say, okay, this is not actually about softball.
Right. Almost immediately.
Yes, this immediately. And it was, and the next few minutes were just the just the most intense thing. You correct me if I don't remember it wrong, but I know how I remember it. It was, I don't remember the words or who said it, but it was just articulated very bluntly and directly. We want you to join our band, and we want to move away, and we're going to make a real band that's going to be real. And I don't, and that, and maybe it was like, maybe we could go to Florida. I don't even know if it got that far, but the second that I heard it articulated, is in my memory, it's like a movie, but in my memory, you know, I'm saying yes the second it comes out of somebody. Like, I remember just the least amount of hesitation, like, oh, that's something. I've got nothing. That's something.
Right.
Yes. Like, whatever. Yes. Now, and then here we go. Let me start kicking around. We go to Jacksonville. We go to Boston. We go to New York. Are you scared? Are we going to Texas? Where do you want to go? Seattle?
Right.
LA? You know, it was like, I think we were to that, like, in minutes. I don't remember even a moment of deliberation personally or as a group. But tell me if you remember that differently, Devin.
I don't either. I mean, you probably answered right away, and I mean, I think I answered pretty much immediately after.
I think you said yes.
I don't remember hesitating much or anything. And I think even Toby and Joey were kind of like, "Whoa, are you guys sure?" I mean,
it's like, okay,
you want
to
think?
We thought we were
going
to have to convince you. We thought that y'all would have some pushback, like, "Well, what, you know, like seriously, what about this and this and this?" And Devin, you're relationship with Linky had already ended or what?
Yeah.
So that had already happened. Yeah. So in my memory, I remember getting there and feeling so nervous because y'all didn't experience this, but I thought, wait a minute. Joey doesn't know anything about music. He knows nothing. And he's talked to me. And I mean, I have to give full credit to Joey. It was his idea. He was like, hey, what would you, because Joey graduated before us. And was already in his profession as a teacher. He was a middle school teacher. And he said to me, what would you think about trying to do Joe 747 or a band? We can call it whatever we want. But what would you think about trying it? And we'll figure it out. Because the reason we knew we had to move and was because in the scene, Charlotte,
I'm gonna roll
Rock
Joe
Hill,
747 underneath you talking.
Perfect. There was no scene really for us at the moment. There was some stuff that was going on, like Hope's Fall and Beloved were playing, but there was not anything that we felt like was solid. And we thought, what if we could move to New York? We talked about Lawrence, Kansas, because Appleseed Cast was from there. Florida, Seattle came up, California. Where could we move? Where could we live and try something? Sure enough, we meet with you guys. We say, hey, we need these two guys because they're phenomenal. And so I really felt like it was a thing where if y'all say no, well, that's the end for me. I'm not going with just Joey. Joey and I aren't going to move across the country or to Florida even, no matter what, from South Carolina, anywhere. I knew if y'all two said no, then that was probably it for me. I was going to be an elementary school teacher. But because y'all said yes, that was it.
Can y'all hear that music? Yeah. Is it lower?
Yeah, it's in and out.
Down more. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because, like, with Joey, I mean, I thought about Joey in Joe 747, but he was basically, you know, you and him were just best friends, and you wrote all the music, and you were kind of that. He just played bass and looked down at the floor and screamed a little bit. So I guess I immediately kind of thought, like, oh, yeah, well, this will be cool, and so we'll see how it kind of pans out musically with Joey or whatever. But
it's hard to think about.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's funny thinking back. Y'all knew Joey wasn't really a musician, and y'all still said
didn't know that.
Yeah, we just thought, well, he can get better. I mean, it's no problem.
Yeah, he's a bass player. I thought he could get better. I mean, I hadn't known him that long, so he's not very good yet.
Right.
Right. But we weren't yet very good either. Right. So, it, right. I mean, you know, it was.
Right.
You know, that's just the way it was. It was. That was. Well, the thing
about it, too, is that it's funny when I think back to that time and sitting there at the restaurant and the idea of all of us thought, wait a minute, why not just give this a shot? Like, I mean, in that moment, I guess I had all this hope and belief that maybe something could really cool could happen, but I couldn't have told you it was this. I couldn't have said, oh yeah, we're going to get on, you know, all the things that came with Emory. I couldn't have ever have actually guessed it even close to right. And I mean, and at the same time I thought, yeah, there's a real chance here, but that's what I'm saying. Like for me, it was, I don't even know if I realized it in the moment. You're right. Joey was my best friend. And I thought, okay, it'd be really awesome to do something with him, but I need you two or else this is nothing. Like without Devin and Matt.
No, and then what would you
yeah,
do?
Yeah. I thought y'all would say no. Man, that's kind of crazy. I bet I probably thought it was a 50-50 chance y'all would say no, because how foolish is it that you're graduating college and we say, hey, let's move somewhere and do a band. That's the most right. absurd thing ever in the whole world. Right.
Yeah.
Like we should have done the band. I mean, we were doing bands kind of, and even a little bit together, but I mean, that's something you do in college and then you move on to the real thing.
So what's crazy about it is that it was a situation where the stakes were immediately high. So you go from saying, I'm in a band, I'm playing, like, again, we've been describing it as chilling out, playing in a band, getting the gig, doing the thing, and not succeeding at all.
Right.
And even failing. Right. That is what was happening. Right. So we've been trying. We've been playing music. We went to school for music. Failing. No scene. No progress. Nothing. But just trying and flailing and nothing. So we had zero success. So to say, join our band.
We were not popular in our local scene.
Not even at all. No. We had never had anybody come see us that wasn't a girlfriend. I mean, or at the bar. I mean, it didn't matter. It was zero. And so it was to say, oh, well, let's just join our band and let's be serious and stay here or something. And we'll just see if we can get more gigs was obviously no reason to even do that.
Yeah, not even.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like.
So the moving component was extremely important. In fact, it was the whole hook.
Oh, yeah.
It was the whole premise was, wait a minute. If you change the situation, we do something aggressive, then something will have to happen, right? Because it was clear nothing was going to happen there. It was not a good place to be, first of all. And secondly, it's just too complacent. There's nothing. So when you come to it with the stakes of, and we're leaving town, we can leave in the fall at the end of this summer after we graduate, then all of a sudden it's real. And so if you didn't have that hook to it, it would have been just like, I don't know, we'll just play some music, see if we get better, and try. I mean, we would never have had any other expectations. But we say, you're moving away from your relationships, your family, your girlfriends, and we're going to try something, then you really, you know, the ante's high enough to really mean something.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like success. It wasn't like any minimal success propelled us to make a decision to do something. It was the opposite.
Correct.
It was like, it was like, you know, we were, the option for us to play music was going down the drain if we didn't do something else.
Extreme, that
was
basically,
it was the opposite of any success.
And so then it's 10 minutes later and we're deliberating, well, Jacksonville, it's not too far. I mean, it's like six hours. I mean, it's Florida.
Right.
And that's what we started saying. I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, you know, it'd be better than staying around here. I mean, New York, well, I'm not going to go to New York. I mean, obviously, you can't do that. LA, I mean, I heard they do pay to play there and it's scary. I mean, I can't go to college. I mean, I can't do that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then I don't know if it wasn't, it was just seconds later. And this, again, is probably a colored memory of mine. I've always been, you know, my music begins with Nirvana and grunge and stuff like that. So the second the word Seattle came out of somebody's mouth, I never thought about it going there before or anything. But then when somebody said Seattle, I said, that's right. Yeah. That's far away. It doesn't sound scary. Nirvana, grunge, Seattle. And that was pretty much it. I don't think we deliberated much past that.
In a way, you're right. Seattle didn't seem scary. Like, L.A. sounds like, oh, New York or anything. And then, I remember us talking...
It's 12 minutes after the idea was brought up and it was decided. Right. It was just done.
The idea there was just, it's about as far away as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it doesn't seem scary. Like, we talked about all these other places, but, like, I knew there was... We seriously, we talked about a little bit like the Lawrence area or the Kansas City area where Appleseed Cast, Brands, or, you know, whatever, some bands have been recorded. Emo. And yeah. And then New York seemed too intense, and the money wise, Austin, Texas, we knew, you know, there was outside, you know, all the stuff, Austin City Limits and stuff like that. LA, all the,
we didn't
Florida,
know
Florida is where Limp Bizkit was from, Jacksonville's Limp Bizkit. Yeah, right, all those things are like, wait a minute, hold on, this doesn't, I think we probably immediately thought Florida's too close. Those other places are too small. LA and New York are too big.
Yeah.
Seattle seems about right.
It wasn't true that, oh, yeah, but like Anne Berlin and Underoath are from Florida. That's got a scene. Never heard of them.
No.
They didn't exist.
I didn't know Anne Berlin or Underoath before we left.
I know. They didn't exist.
I never heard of them. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if Underoath technically existed in 99, but I mean, whatever, 2000, but you know.
Yeah, but I mean, not to where I would have known.
We didn't know there was bands out of Florida other than maybe Further Seems Forever we'd heard of, and they were from Florida or something, but.
Right. I mean, I don't even know if I knew. I mean, this is crazy. Like, I was listening to Deep Elm Records and stuff like that, but I thought that our music was unbelievably unique. I didn't even know there was other, even then, that we were something that was, you know, could be a label would pick up or anything. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought we were doing something really unique that South Carolina couldn't handle. You know, for what, playing at the bar for what it's worth in Rock Hill, South Carolina, those people aren't going to get what we're trying to do. Maybe the people in Seattle will. Because
be something,
Somehow they got Nirvana. Somehow they got Pearl Jam. But, you know, all that grunge scene or whatever. Those people can understand taking a chance on music when it's way different than what's on the, you know, radio or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was a bit of it right there. That I was like, wait a minute. That gives us at least an opportunity to try what we're doing.
Right. So I'm so 45 minutes earlier, I'm just sitting around in my house. Phone rings. Go to the softball meeting. And now I'm moving to Seattle, never to return. That's what happened. Good meeting.
So remind me, because Joey was big into indie and emo, and he knew Tooth and Nail and all that stuff. And I was still learning about all this, and we were, you know. So, but people ask us this all the time, but there was no reason for Seattle.
No.
That had anything to do with Tooth and Nail.
Frazier's
cool. Like, did Joey even know anything about MXPX? Like, did he know they were because of Bremerton or anything like that?
We weren't interested in that music. Together. We thought that was just weird punk stuff. I didn't care about it.
It was.
Yeah, we never moved to Seattle because of Tooth and Nail. Like, that was, in fact, if y'all remember, I for a long time, we thought that they were just a really shitty label.
Yeah, at the time, because
all we ever heard was like bad news from them.
Gave bad deals, so who cares?
Yeah, they got like six record deals that screwed over the bands and all this stuff. When I you know, the internet was still kind of new, but I just remember going, we'll never sign with them, whatever. But the reason we moved to Seattle is because of Nirvana, probably.
Right.
Like, oh, wait a minute, there's something there. Nirvana, maybe Pearl Jam, but Nirvana mostly, because y'all love Nirvana. And I was like, oh, this could be something really, and just the idea of being so far away as you can, that'd be the craziest thing you could do. If you're doing something crazy, why not be as crazy as you can?
I love the idea of it being not like, okay, we'll go out, you know, 90s grunge. Cool. But the only thing that was there was ska when we got it. But that's later. But it's not like we're going to show up to the grunge thing. So now when you leave that meeting, it's like, well, we got our summer and fall planned. Just should be pretty easy from there, right? Go home, tell everybody, and get packing.
Let me ask you guys this, because we all have different relationships with our parents and family and everything. So, were you at all nervous to tell your family, girlfriends, and friends? Were you nervous or were you excited?
I can answer that. First of all, I told my girlfriend like a few hours later, and that I was excited about because she had that Wilmington thing. So now I have my thing too.
Yeah.
So I was very excited about that.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, you know how you got plans?
Big
well, guess who else has some fucking plans? Me.
Yeah, I got some plans.
Yeah. So
you
I
got
plans too.
Oh, I got some plans.
Oh yeah. I was not nervous about that part. That part I recall being excited to do. However, I was immediately met. I was immediately met with just complete, you know, demotion and deflation. Like, you're not going to do that. Get out of here. And I hung my head low and walked away.
Wait, she said that? You're not going to do that?
I mean, that was the dramatic version of it. But she's like, you're going to what? With who? Okay.
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
But then I get to go tell my parents, you see, who are supportive. My parents are very supportive, you know, like, for sure. And I So I don't remember thinking at all they're going to be mad. I thought they would. I just had a good upbringing where I felt like, oh, this should be exciting. This should be exciting to them too. Maybe, you know, maybe a little something to it. And I don't remember telling my mom or if she said anything, but my dad immediately was like, you're not going to do that. So you're not going to do that. He said, one of y'all will just quit before and back out and then it'll fall apart. You're not going to do that.
So, he was well, right,
I
said,
yes,
though,
I
Joe,
am. Yeah. Yes, daddy, I am going to do it. Yeah. So that was that part.
Devin, what'd your family say? Because your mom and
he was right that somebody would back out. Though
I was,
he was
nervous.
Correct about
I wasn't,
that.
I wasn't excited. I was nervous. So because I knew what my mom. I mean, my mom was just. I knew she was just going to fall apart.
And,
so,
and were you thinking before we even did this? Were you thinking I'm going back to Greer and going to live? Like, were you thinking that? Like, that was that your mentality before? If it wouldn't have been for the band, don't you think both of y'all would have moved back to Greer, South Carolina?
I would have maybe started back there just if I didn't have any other plan.
Right.
I mean, that would have been the easiest thing to do. Like people do. You just go back.
Farthest
to
away would have been Charlotte area where Rock Hill, South Carolina, or Charlotte. Yeah. You wouldn't have moved. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I knew my mom was an emotional person. So I knew for sure that she was just going to fall apart. So I wasn't looking forward to that. I knew she's she's supportive and happy for me and stuff, but that wasn't really the deal.
We had some hard data on your mom not liking the idea because Toby earlier that summer had pulled a prank on your mom where he left a message on her on Devin's answer machine at home saying that they had gotten accepted to go be the Alaska to get on the Alaska crab boat fishing, which at the time, you know, it was supposed to be a dangerous job. It was all a rumor mill about that. And it's like, Devin, we got accepted to go to Alaska to work on the boats.
We talked about that for some reason because that show and the remember, like, you make a bunch of money in, like, a few months.
Yeah.
And I told my mom one time, and we had talked about it. I was like, that'd be awesome, you know? She's like, no way. You know what I mean? You could die. It's unbelievable.
Right.
And, yeah, Toby
what did she say when she
changed
said, I left
his
a
voice.
Message, right? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Changed his voice and his name. And she I can't remember exactly the interaction, but she just came to me. She said, Devin, please tell me. You're not going to go on a crab, one of those crabbing boats. Please. I mean, she's just like crying. And I mean, it's just unreal.
Oh, no.
And
man.
I was like, what are you talking about? And then I think I knew later. I was like, no, that was Toby. And she got over it. But I mean, that was her reaction.
Right.
But times 100.
But it turns out, Toby did have plans to take you away from her to the Northwest after all.
Right.
Right.
Almost just as far as Alaska. Almost just as far. What was my fake name I used to use? Do y'all remember that? What was it?
I almost remember it.
It was it wasn't like Bill Plasky or something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Ned
Slathers?
Slathers. Tom Slathers.
Tom Slathers. Tom Slathers.
I think I might have said that. I was like, hey, this is Tom Slathers. I want them to join. Devin's application has come through. And we're going to take him on to the Alaskan.
I don't really remember
fishery.
What my dad said.
But
that was
for Alaska. But then when you go to tell him about moving to Seattle to start a band.
It's terrible. I mean, my mom just breaks down. It's awful. I don't even remember what my dad said. I think he just kind of looked like disappointed a little bit, like, oh, okay, all right, well, you know, it's kind of like that. I mean, it definitely wasn't like, yay, exciting. No, I mean, I don't think anybody had that, did they?
Matt's parents were kind of, sounds like they were encouraging.
Yeah, they were, relatively supportive.
But your mom was probably okay with it, right?
I mean, I don't remember. I mean,
They probably also thought this is just a phase. Yeah, just this is something. They'll be gone for a year or something. They'll come back or whatever. Devin's parents worried. My parents divorced. Both y'all's parents stayed together. My parents divorced. And I think I told my mom. She's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Didn't totally wasn't that interested. And then my dad was like, he didn't say these words, but it felt like as on the receiving end, you are a fool. It felt like that from my dad that I was a fool making the dumbest idiot mistake of my life, and that's the way I felt. Yeah. So Matt's parents are supportive. Devin's parents worried. What will happen to him? We care about him. We love him. My parents, fool. We'll do it. Do whatever. No,
you're right.
Do fool. Whatever. It doesn't matter. You are a fool.
Yes. But interestingly, my dad wasn't way off with somebody's going to back out and it'll fall apart because that almost happened next.
That's true.
It did happen and almost. Yeah. fell apart. That did happen. He was kind of right there.
So that, but that didn't happen until about what, like a week before.
Okay, so this is spring. So we're springtime.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're going to leave, and after the summer, we're going to graduate. Then we're going to save up money, work through the summer, save up cash, and then we'll leave in the fall. That was just the basic plan. So that's 6 months. So we started kicking in, working on the band right away. I guess we decided to not keep Joe 747 as the name. Say, all right, you know what? If it's these two and these two, let's just start a new name. Let's go figure out a new name. We'll keep working on music and start to make plans, because we got this big move coming up in 6 months. So we can start right now.
I do. I do remember a little bit. I think that some of the people from our band were a little mad at us.
Yeah, I think so.
I think Paul was a little perturbed at us, because we had just started kind of doing the Iron Kid thing.
Right.
And then we were like, yeah, well, we're just going to play with Joey and Toby and move.
Yeah.
And
I think
he was just kind of like, oh, that kind of sucks. I mean, it was like they were just like bummed and a little agitated with us for just doing it.
Well, rightfully so, because y'all had been in a band with, Simply Wayne and then Satchel forever. I mean, since high school, you'd known those guys. And then you'd started Iron Kid, which was Paul and Ronnie. Is that right? Who was in Iron Kid? I think it was y'all four. Paul. Who was the drummer in Iron Kid?
I guess maybe Seth did. I don't remember.
It wasn't Seth. I don't remember.
It wasn't Devin? Devin wasn't the drummer?
I don't think
so. No, I played guitar. That was the first time I played guitar for anything.
I don't remember who y'all's drummer was. It wasn't Thiel.
No. I don't even know. Anyway, it doesn't get really off the ground. And then on a side note, Paul that we were in that band with, he did guitar, but he was also into theater and writing, and he too planned to make it in Hollywood, and he did.
Right.
He's written movies with Chris Evans in them, and he's in Hollywood now, and he's a writer. Wow.
He's done great. It almost probably worked out way better for him, right?
And he was better than Joey at least playing guitar. He maybe wasn't the greatest in the world, but he was certainly better than Joey at the time.
about a million times better. So we decided to this is the number one question that we have ever gotten in our lives. How did you get your name? I guess maybe that's every band's.
That's every band.
No matter what, everybody wants to know. And I don't even know why. I don't know why you want to know. Right. I guess I understand why you want to know Aerosmith. Where did you get that name? But it doesn't, I think to the band, it almost doesn't matter, because you're just trying to name it. You know what I mean? Like when you think about Matt, when you think about why you named your kids the way you did, or Devin too, like you just named them because that was the name you liked the most. It ended up being the name you liked the most, right? That has to be the number one most reason. It's the name that satisfies you and your wife the most or whatever. I think with this one, so we said, okay, let's put a bunch of names on a list and we'll mark off some every few days, or maybe even once a week or something like that. And if I'm not mistaken, we had a really long list of names. I wish we still had that list. Of all the names that we came out.
It was definitely the front side of a piece of notebook paper. Yeah. You know, I don't know how many that is, but it was a lot.
I mean, it was a ton of names, and I'm just shocked. You just don't know at the moment, but like, man, I wish I had some of those names. I would love to have those names and just use those names for Emery songs. I think that would be just so fun and so cool if there were just, names that we were going to name ourselves. But I can remember it was either every few days, like every 3 days or once a week, we said we have to delete some names. We can't stick with these. And everybody, I can't totally remember, but everybody came with like maybe 10 names.
Yeah, so we had a kind of a mechanical system where everybody would submit 5 names, and we'd get, try to get a list of 30, and then we would just vote and eliminate them, and everybody would have a second. I mean, I think we had some voting system that didn't probably turn out to matter too much, where everybody gets a vote, and you get to vote 3 times, and each one gets a certain amount of point rank or something. We were to a point where it wasn't going to be clearly easy to come up with a name, so we were using a system.
Do y'all remember any names that you personally came up with, or you don't even remember?
I only remember the three that we probably all remember.
Yeah, I don't think I remember anymore.
What were the three? Let's just go ahead and say them.
So I will start with the name that I submitted that will get me made fun of.
Hey, come on.
It's okay.
You love the name. You were really proud of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think it was the right name.
We're not making fun of you.
But I thought it would be cool to name the band Same Day Forever. I wasn't really thinking about Further Seems Forever, so that wasn't an issue. Same Day Forever, just like on repeat, and like Groundhog Day, I thought that was cool. So I don't know. I mean, that's
right.
What else was I supposed to come up with? That's what I came up with.
It was an idea. It was an idea. But I don't remember any of my names at all. I don't remember.
Who came up with the Reginald. Yeah. The Reginald. I almost think Matt, maybe you came up with that.
I don't remember. I don't think so, but I like it.
I do not remember who came up with, but so same day forever, the Reginald, and then of course Emery. And so right. Emery, for the last time, I hope I never have to say this again. I got my degree in elementary education and I was doing an internship in first grade. And one of the students was named Emery. And it's funny because I really hadn't heard that name much. It was a really unique name. Mm-hmm. I'd heard of Emory College maybe here and there, you know, out of Georgia, but I hadn't really ever thought about the name. And I was like, what a cool name. And the kid was awesome. And it just meant something to me. Like, I just thought it was cool. And so I was like, hey, this name Emory is it's cool. Like, I think this could be really something. And so I put it in the list, not knowing that that's what it would be. But also, I think I probably just selfishly tried to, hey, y'all know the Emery name's pretty good though, right? You know, and I kept thinking back to, like, at the time, I mean, maybe it's still the same way, but bands had like lots of words in their name, Stone Temple Pilots or, you know, whatever it was. And I was like, you know, just one word is really cool. Like, I just thought that was just so cool that if you could just be that one, you just say one word and that's the band. And mm-hmm. That name kept coming back up and kept coming back, and we'd mark off some. And I guess it came down. I actually, you say we make fun of you, but I think Same Day Forever made it, at least to the last round.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in final three.
So we made fun of you for it, but I mean, we actually liked it. I mean, we could have easily been Same Day Forever. We could have easily been the Reginald, which it came down to finally Emery or the Reginald.
Mm hmm.
And I don't know if y'all remember anything of that. Like, when did we say, okay, it's just Emery?
I think it's like, just a vote system. We just voted and it told us what the name was. I think everybody ranked it. Like, you got to say, I put this much weight on this one, this much weight on this one, and we just took all
the
But
you don't remember if you voted for the Reginald over Emery,
I don't remember that. But yeah. I don't know that if it was called the Reginald, that it wouldn't have been just as good or better. I really don't see that as having turned out bad if it was the case. I know everybody it's not. I mean, but if it went down the other way, I don't know. It probably would have been better.
Man, there would have been a whole lot less kids.
It might have been better. We might have made the wrong decision.
There'd have been a whole lot less kids named Emery. I know that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't remember either. I think I voted for Emery, I think, because I just liked how short it was.
Yeah, I voted for Emery for sure.
Yeah, I just liked how short it was, how easy it was to say. It came off, you know, just rolled off your tongue smoothly. Right. It was just nice. That was one of our, and like you said, Toby, that was one of our things. It was like, hey, let's keep this kind of short and simple.
Right.
Easy for people to remember, not long and complicated. So that was a big part of it.
And what's really funny is at that moment, it meant nothing. It was just like we were taking it super serious, but nobody else in the entire world outside of us four. And I want to really make this a point. There was just four.
Mm-hmm.
There was not another person. We did not have a bass player or hadn't decided who was playing what or doing what. At that moment, it was me, Joey Svensson, Matt Carter, and Devin Shelton. And that was it.
And
we decided on the song. Right. Right.
Sing some,
At that moment, we because in y'all's band, Devin was our drummer. And then in y'all's band, Satchel, Seth Studley, who became the first drummer of Emery, was y'all's drummer, and they weren't going with us. You know, I mean, and Devin was going with us, but Seth wasn't going with us. I'm trying to remember, too, did we even ask anybody else, like Paul or anybody else that was in Satchel or anything, hey, would y'all want to go?
No.
I feel like we might have asked Seth, and he said no because he had his girlfriend. And he thought they were going to get married, and so he decided not to go and stay in college. He was going to USC, Spartanburg, or whatever. Might not have even asked him, but it was literally just four people. So when we started Emery, we weren't even a full band. We didn't have all the positions covered. We didn't have a bass player. Even if Devin was going to play drums, we didn't even have a bass player. Oh, well, I guess it would have been Joey. So I take that back. So I guess it would have been Devin on drums, Joey on bass, Matt guitar, me singing and guitar, Devin singing from the drums. But it wasn't anything like what Emery ended up being. You know what I mean? Like, at this point, it was just four people that were going to try and play some music together. It wasn't Emery the band. It was just, we're going to call this thing Emory, and let's try and write some music together. And we had, what were the songs that we had?
Well, we were like, are we going to do any Joe Simmons? I guess we'll have to write new songs.
Right.
And so we started to write songs. So we'll just probably move on to that next episode and get into the music, like that summer and what we did. But that's probably a good place to kind of to lay it down here. I'll play a Joe 747 song, The Gray is a Nasty Color, which is a really cool song, kind of trying to sound like Mineral. We were trying to get it that
well,
a little bit.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
This is before I was in the band, but I recorded this on an 8-track digital Roland thing. So it's just 8 little inputs.
I think this is in your parents' garage, right?
No, we might have did Blue something Ridge? There or in the bedroom at the place. But anyway, that's this kind of stuff we were doing. And then I think shortly after here, we would say, well, why don't we take that new song, The Secret, that Devin wrote, and we'll go write a new song. We wrote the song Shift that eventually got us on. And then some things happened there. That's a teaser for next time. But I'll leave you with, this is the best we could do to approach emo at that time from our position.
I want to give one more teaser here. First time I heard Secret, I was like, God, that's Devin, man. He's a good friend of mine, and he's just killing it. I gotta write. What do I do now? This Secret song is unbelievable. I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, God, what's he doing? He's killing me here. I mean, we started a band together, Emory, and I was immediately jealous of you.
Competition.
Like, damn, this is unbelievable.
You know, it's kind of funny, too, because before that even, there was something's always been in our blood a little bit of that idea of competition, because we did a song. We can go back just real quick. Sorry.
Fine.
We did songwriting competitions.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Years
yeah.
before, a couple yep. years before, and we would pair two guys up. So all of our group of guys, we would say, okay, this week is Matt versus Ronnie or whatever.
Right.
You guys got to write, you got 24 hours to write a song, music and lyrics. Come back and play the next day, and we would vote. And Toby and I were, of course, matched up against each other. And Toby wrote a great song. Was that the one when you wrote you remember which one?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it was a good song.
It
was one that
the
you guys
finishing,
actually.
Or, no, he wrote it. He wrote it. You Wanted More. I'll play that
you
one.
I'll play that one.
Yeah. It was a good one. And then I wrote one that we don't remember, but it was still good. I think the votes were pretty close. Like, it was like 9-8 or whatever the voting was.
It was like a tournament.
And yeah, so, but it was really cool. But then looking forward, like you said, it's like, you know, I finally wrote a good song that I thought was like, oh, this is cool, man. This is like kind of emo. And Toby's like, damn it,
Devin.
You
that's
showed
really
him
funny
emo,
that,
and then
that,
he went
that competition.
And did it better
than you. the first person I went up was Phil Van Campen, and I beat him, and he got really mad. And then you and I went up. Yeah, so.
That's Do you just, want me to play? Ten,
yeah, play
You Wanted
play
More.
You Wanted More. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
This
yeah,
is a song that Toby wrote in 24 time. Hours for a little competition that we had going on in college. And then we springboarded for memory from there.
Devin, you played drums on this, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I think Matt played most of some of the guitar here.
Yeah, I did.
Man, so laugh while you still can.
Golly,
I'm not afraid of injury. Tease me. Yesterday I knew how to please me and what could get me through. Now it's all. One more is for you wanted more, and that's what more is for. Big
Splash.
They don't cause me fear. I wish that one were me. You can see I can hold my own. I believe that I don't need anything.
Wow.
Nice.
Just a chubby kid wearing thrift store clothes trying to be cool, writing that fucking song.
I like it. It's good. See y'all next week. If you want to join Emery Land, go to emerymusic.com. Get in the Discord. Get our new EP. Be part of the machine. We've been here a long time, and we got a long way to go.
Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Joe.
And we're the professional book nerds. 2 Mondays a month, we interview authors and talk about their upcoming books, what drives them, and their go-to order at the cafe.
On Thursdays, we share recommendations and dive into topics readers face, like, how do I actually read the books on my to-be-read list?
You can find the Professional Book Nerds podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn more about us? Our website is professionalbooknerds.com, and you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at ProBookNerds.
We hope you'll come and listen, and as always,
happy reading!
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to 2 readers about 1 book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.